Chapter 15. You good to move? Tran asked Kreese, still staring at Leanna.
Yeah, I'm all right. Hurts a little, but I can walk fine.
Reach was eager to get going again.
Leanna, which way?
She looked up at the fading stars and pointed northwest.
Unga, you take point, Tran ordered.
They reformed their formation and started moving again. It wasn't long before Unga signaled for everyone to freeze.
Got eyes on 6, maybe 7 up ahead.
Rupak? Tran asked.
Gotta be. It's 6. Confirmed. Walking on that ridgeline about 200 meters due east. I can see their rifles. Those magnetic guns like before.
Slick and silent, Reach reminded the team.
Can we go around?
Negative. Unless the girl knows another way.
Tran swore.
All right, let's disappear and see if they move along. They haven't seen us.
The team disappeared into the terrain and waited.
Shit, said Unga over the implant. They're heading this way.
Do they have envy?
Reach asked, not that it would matter much longer. The hue of the night had changed and dawn would be upon them soon.
Negative, sir. Not that I see. Stay hidden. Objective is stealth.
Reach and Leanna were hiding beneath a dense, leafy shrub that filled out the rocky terrain. He felt the girl pulling on his arm, whispering something unintelligible in his ear. Reach pressed 2 fingers to the woman's lips. She flinched, but persisted.
Jared, she whispered. Not safe.
Thinking she meant Rupak, he turned to assure her and realized she was pointing off behind them. A Rupak flanking maneuver? He brought his rifle around, and that's when he saw it coming at them. Running at them, silent as the grave. 4 legs padding noiselessly as it charged. It opened its mouth to let out a hiss.
What the?
Began the ranger, watching the team 6, but by that time Reach had the creature targeted, green dots all around its eyes and chest. He put a round on each target, dropping whatever the thing was to the ground. It slid to a halt just a few meters shy of their position.
Tran cursed at the noise.
The Rupak troops they were hoping to evade opened fire.
Light 'em up,
Tran shouted, but the rangers were already on it. The Rupak soldiers dropped to their bellies, blue flames erupting from their nozzles as invisible projectiles began splitting trees and rocks nearby.
Stay down,
Reach shouted at Leanna, engaging the enemy as the beast he'd just slain let out its final gasp. The night vision Alexa had equipped him with was far superior to the typical goggles attached to helmets. He could see in the dark, but without the tunnel vision. Usually it was impossible to have the sense of awareness provided with peripheral vision and difficult to pick out the dangerous pixels from the foliage. But Reach had the sensation that he was in broad daylight. His internal reticles went green on the forehead of a Rupak soldier sending blue flashes of fire in their direction. Reach pulled the trigger, and the target went down.
Watch the left flank, Tran ordered. Kreese, are you listening?
Got it,
Kreese responded. Reach followed left and saw 2 more Rupak soldiers. He quickly dispatched both.
Reach! Reach!
It was Tran. Reach heard Leanna scream and turned to see another of the creatures barreling toward him. But before he could fire, crack! A guttural hiss escaped from the monster. Now 2 lay dead on the ground, the second one with its head split completely in 2. Tongues, 5 or 6 of them, unrolled from the thing's mouth and lay around its head like tentacles.
Got you, sir, Massaw said. No problem.
Rupak?
Reach asked, shifting his attention back to the front, but not seeing any more of the enemy.
We got him, Tran replied.
Down,
Massaw shouted. Reach obeyed immediately, and another round from the sniper's rifle snapped, dropping a 3rd creature.
What the hell are those?
Day said.
Dead, said Unga.
Jared,
Leanna whispered.
You is okay?
Roger.
I'm fine, he replied, looking her over.
Are you okay? Are you good?
Good,
she said, smiling the best she could.
Trace. No more.
Trace?
Leanna held up 3 fingers.
Trace. Hunt always in trace.
Reach nodded, relieved to hear the news and eager to accept it as gospel. Liana says those things hunt in packs of three. We should be good.
I'ma keep my eyes open anyway, Kreese said.
Status, barked Sergeant Tran. Everyone was good. Massa, Tran said, you watch for more of those things or anything else. Day, how many Rupak did you count?
6 total, Sarge. Confirmed 6 bodies ahead.
Check for intel, Tran ordered. Unger, you go with him. Corporal Vance pointed beyond the ridgeline to a great looming hill, still in shadow, as the extreme edge of the sun began to break the night.
That looked like ships to you guys?
Reach shifted himself to get a better look. Did you say ships, as in more than one?
That's affirmative, sir, Vance replied. Unless my eyes are playing tricks, that looks like 2 ships in total. Maybe 1.5.
Hard landing, said Unga.
Looks like rocks to me, said Kreese.
Sun's coming up, Sergeant Tran said. We'll get a closer look soon. And every Rupak in the valley will get a clear look at us.
Reach nodded. The engagement, though unavoidable, was exactly what he hadn't wanted to happen.
Liana, are we close? To your home?
She nodded in the gathering light, but with a confused expression. Reach pointed at the ridge.
Home? Ose?
Close. Home. We live close.
Good enough, Reach mumbled to himself. I'm calling this in.
Roger, Tran said, guarding the perimeter with the rest of his team.
Hatchet 02 reporting in.
Roger.
It was Sherman, meaning that Captain Bosa was probably lights out.
Rupak contact, 6 EKIAs, objective in sight, moving on to object, over.
Copy, keep me advised.
Roger, out.
Reach looked to the team.
We're pushing on. Day, any intel on the bodies?
Negative, sir. Are we leaving their rifles?
Take them.
Moments later, they were on the move. The Gauss rifles secured and distributed, leaving behind only one that had taken a bullet and was still smoldering.
These things feel really light, even compared to our rifles, don't they? Said Kreese.
Yeah, man. That's what I was thinking, said the normally quiet assistant team leader, Corporal Vance.
Do these count as spoils of war, Sarge?
No objections here, Tran replied, looking to Reach.
They didn't need his approval. And Reach wondered just how much influence Alexa had manufactured in whatever she'd done to him and the men while they were in cryo.
I don't care what you take from the commies, he said. Besides, the more we have, the easier Doc Roman will be able to take them apart and study. Might give us an advantage later.
Hey, Reach, said Unga.
Is it true what they say about Roman?
What's that? Reach asked.
He built himself some kind of pleasure robot while we were all in cryo?
It's called an android, said Day. And she's hot. When his old ass dies, I'm marrying her. I don't care if she's got a medal.
The point man signaled for everyone to stop.
Sir, can you bring the girl up? I think we found it.
Reach nodded to Liana and hurried her to the point man's position. Just ahead was what was unquestionably a ship, or at least part of a ship, seen close and in the glow of Amir's sun.
Will you look at that, mumbled Kreese.
On the ship, barely visible, was the peeling symbol Reach had marched under, the last hope for some good to come out of the chaos that was the world they'd left behind. Old Glory.
Ose, said Liana excitedly.
Hatchet 02, Reach transmitted. We have eyes on the objective. United States ship confirmed. Moving in.
Roger, out.
Let's go, Reach told the team.
They took only a few steps before the crump of an explosion near the ship stopped them all in their tracks. It knocked down several trees and sent several small white furry animals scrambling.
Mortars, Tran shouted. They're under attack.
Liana moaned and then took off toward the ship, but Day caught her by the wrist.
Deal,
she shrieked, trying to pry herself free from his grip.
Easy, lady, said Day. Relax.
Sir? Let her go, Reach said. We'll catch up with her later. She wants to help, and her screaming is only going to give our position away. The ranger released her, and Lyanna dashed down the hill and into the dense trees.
She'll get herself killed, he muttered.
Reach didn't think so. She and her colony had survived Rupak long enough to see them grow into an emaciated fighting force. He was more worried about her being frantic enough, or so loud in her panic, to prevent his team from doing their job.
Massa, Reach transmitted. Can you see where the mortar team is?
No, sir. Still looking.
Another explosion sounded. The slow rate of fire suggested the team wasn't particularly skilled with the weapon, or perhaps they were conserving ammunition.
Wait. Due east of that first ship. They gotta be close. Can't get that kind of accuracy too far out. They'd hit the trees for sure. Yep. Rupak's slipping them in right between.
Sergeant Tran, Reach said. Lead the team to the mortar. Let's stop that attack.
Hoo-ah, sir, replied Tran.
He signaled a wedge formation, and once everyone had their spot, they moved out.
Heading to high ground, Massaw said.
Roger, replied Tran. Let us know what you see.
Reach could hear Kreese following behind him. The man's leg was still hurting from the trap, and he was grunting as he climbed. Reach heard the crack of a branch, soft cursing, and more grunting. He whirled around to check on the man, but Kreese had his footing and was pulling himself up by rocky handholds.
Crump.
Massaw, on overwatch, reported in.
I have them sighted. Orient to your 3 o'clock. 800 meters ahead. They're in a small depression among some rocks.
Do you have a shot? Reach asked.
Negative. I'm just seeing the smoke.
Tran was ready for that answer.
Vance, Unga, move up until you're within 350 meters. Then use the 320s to take that mortar team out. Airburst.
Raj, Sarn.
The pair moved into position.
Massaw, Tran continued. Take them out if they pop up.
Of course, Massaw said, sounding as cool and relaxed as ever.
Crump.
The rate of fire was picking up as the grenadiers crept closer. Massaw's M110 gave a crack.
One down, the sniper reported.
Rupak's soldiers began shouting, their voices echoing among the rocks. One started firing his weapon wildly at the tree line, nowhere near Massaw, knocking weird football-shaped seed pods out of the branches. Day raised his grenade launcher and guided an airburst right on target. It exploded, silencing the mortar pit.
One more, Tran ordered.
The second grenade followed with the same result.
Send the men up, Reach instructed Tran.
Day and Vance hustled into the mortar pit and reported in.
Yeah, they're dead.
Collect anything that looks important, Tran ordered.
Nothing up here but an old mortar and a bunch of antique-looking rounds, Sarge, Vance said. 60-millimeter mortar. These guys look better fed than the others, though.
Bring it back, Reach said. We can use it.
Was afraid you'd say that. Roger.
What kind of rifles are they using? Tran asked.
They've got more of those futuristic guns, but they look toast. HE round ruptured the power cores.
Tran nodded. Roger. Come back down. With the mortar.
The two rangers were soon on their way back, half sliding, half running down the hill. When they reached the bottom, they formed a staggered column and headed back to their sniper. Massaw met them when they arrived.
It looks good, he said. I was up in that tree until you were only a few 100 meters out. Nobody followed you, and I don't see any more enemy activity. Rupak has to be running out of men and equipment. They can't keep this up forever.
Never underestimate a motivated commie, Tran said before turning to Reach. Which brings up another point. It's been 300 years, give or take, since these bastards showed up, right?
That's one theory, Reach confirmed. That they hid in their ship until their cryopods failed. Or maybe they just arrived. Either way, why?
Just wondering if these assholes even know why they're fighting. You know, like, did someone leave something behind for them? Or have they been fighting their whole life so they just keep doing it because it's what they've always done?
Your guess is as good as mine, Sergeant, Reach replied. We won't know until we can get them talking, or until we find one of their bases and go through their stuff. Maybe someone left a commie book behind. Computers. Something we can collect some data from.
Tran seemed satisfied with the answer. Everybody ready to go visit our future generations?
How are they going to know we're not the bad guys, said Kreese. I mean, Lyanna's not even with us anymore, and someone just mortared them. We really think they know the difference between Rupak and us heavily armed and handsome strangers? Maybe we should hang out here for a while, wait for tempers to cool down before we head in there armed, armored, and looking like maybe we're the ones who did it.
Lyanna will speak to them before we get there, said Reach. They may even send a scout or two out to verify our story, and we'll see that the enemy mortar team is dead.
What if she doesn't tell them? Or she does and they don't believe her, Day said. What if she's the town liar or something?
Tran groaned.
Enough.
Reach, what do you want to do?
All eyes turned to Reach.
No pressure, Tran transmitted privately.
But you came out on this mission to be a politician anyway, right? Foreign affairs, ambassador, all that shit. You get to decide how we approach camp and what kind of a first impression you want to leave these people with.
Reach took a deep breath to buy himself a few more seconds to think.
Keep your rifles low. We go in peacefully. If anyone attacks, you are authorized to use just enough force to prevent injury to yourselves or others. When in doubt, turn your attacker's head into a taco shell.
The rest of the team voiced their approval.
Massa, Reach added as the team started to move. I'll need you to find a good hiding spot and provide overwatch. You're our insurance policy.
Glad to do it, the sniper replied. I'll find a spot. I've got your back.
Thanks, Reach said, then nodded to Tran.
Okay, gents, you heard it. Direct from the governor of the U.S. territory of Amir. Rifles low, safety's on. Let's head out. Watch your interval.